like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to your text, so please keep them coming. Joining us now on the line, he's running for his old congressional seat, but regular on this show, always a pleasure to bring on former Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, how are you?
Merry Christmas, Jeff Orr. I am doing fantastic.
Well, how's the campaign going so far?
Campaign's looking very strong. Our folks are excited. We're ready to get New Year's past us so we can kind of fully fledge, get everything kicked off, and we're good to go. I'm so excited to be back on campaign trail. I can't stand it.
Well, I guess we'll talk a little X's and O's. Like, you know, you performed well in the Western half of the district last time around. You struggled against Congressman Moore in the eastern part, and that turned out to be the difference. You feel like you're making any headway there, improving on last go around?
Well, we picked up the Farm Federation endorsement. You know, the Farm Federation did not get involved in Barry and I's race, but we did pick their endorsement up in this one, which is huge in the Wiregrass. Obviously, being such a farm-related community. And also the Marine military over there, being around Fort Rucker. We've got a strong military following here in Mobile that we're going to actually take over into the Wiregrass with us. We're going to get pull from a lot of help, from a lot of support from our veteran community here, and I think we're going to be able to pull it off. You know, the Wiregrass is wide open. Our polling tells us that it's really an open field. There's a handful that do know Jerry Carl, but the other candidates are virtually an unknown. So it's a start from scratch. I do have something to start with, which is name ID, and we just got to tell our story, tell folks what we've done, how we've done it, and why we've done it, and how we're going to improve on top of that.
Well, something that's been on my mind, and you and I talked a little bit off air about this, but so a lot of this discussion about the West Alabama corridor, and look, I know you only have to talk about the merits of the project. I'm more interested in trying to get like federal funding for this, and sort of the nuance of the approach you take. How hard pursuing something like this when you have, I guess, the state has a bunch of other things on its mind that it needs federal matching money for, but something like this, like, was this ever on your radar? And what do you think you're running now? Is it too late to pursue some of these options?
I think that project has never been on my radar. My radar has always been the Bay Bridge. In the causeway, the replacement of the causeway. I think we're a lot closer to that. I'm hearing rumblings from the inside of D.C. that Trump may change some of the regulations where we can probably save $1 billion on that project. So it's going to put us a lot closer to being able to build the new bridge and the bayway. I'm going to do an op-ed after the first of the year, and I'm going to call it, it's going to be down and dirty. I think people need to understand the national security involved in that bay, that bridge, and doing away with those tunnels. It is something we have to focus on from a natural, from a security standpoint. The road project you're talking about going up through the Black Belt, yeah, I'm not opposed to that, but I think that money would be much better used if we used it on the projects that we've got now, which are pre-existing, and then figure out ways outside the normal that we can start looking at raising money. I know it's a state project, and I'm not going to get my nose in the state legislature's business, but just like on the federal side, you know, our rural hospitals are in such struggle. I sent you a group of numbers there. We got to looking at that for one hospital. All we were looking at for one hospital, we made the argument with HHS that they could rob pennies from other hospitals across the nation and we could bring the prevailing rates that they pay nurses and doctors and hospitals in the Mobile area to compete with the Pensacolas and the New Orleans, because the rates in Mobile are so much cheaper. Well, lo and behold, when HHS looked at it, they actually figured out how it could be done statewide. And it, we're talking about a few hundred million dollars for the rural health care in the state of Alabama. It's called a Carl Amendment. Right now it is sitting in the Senate. I'm sure it's going to be renamed. I'm sure it's going to be restructured in some way. But it takes thinking out of the box. It takes people that are capable of thinking out of the box. And we did that without raising a single penny in taxes, FYI. So why can't we use that same mentality on our road systems? Because we need them. We need them bad. But I think the most, the one thing we in South Alabama got to focus on is the causeway and the Bay Bridge. I think if we don't, you're going to see North Alabama just keep absorbing money and using it in North Alabama, not South Alabama. We have been ripped off through the years. I don't care what anybody says. When you get an economy like Baldwin County and Mobile County, and we feed the entire state, and that's our job, and we love doing it. But we want our share of the money back.
Well, talk about this. We've been having this debate in this state for decades. You know, the show horse or the workhorse, and you know, you have certain ideological figures. You have some who are really good at doing a little bit of both, with Jeff Sessions. But, you know, historically, Alabama has put an emphasis on bringing home more federal money to Alabama. And, you know, if there ever was a time for something like that, that experience, that that know-how, it seems like it's on things like this. And, you know, I guess it's just a question of numbers, having only seven members versus, you know, whatever other states have in the House, or, you know, and also the way we change the way we do our earmarking. And you know, it just seems a lot more difficult to land these big fish, these whales, than it has been in the past.
So, Jeff, I'm told by Speaker Johnson, if I get reelected, I keep my seniority. I go back on appropriations. That puts three Alabamians on appropriations. That is huge. That is huge. So you've got other states that come to you with projects, and they say, Congressman, can you help me get this on this project? Okay, that's fine, but you've got this windmill project, or you've got this solar project, or you've got these other projects. I need to pull that money away from. Use that money on my bridge program. That's where you start. That's where you start playing chess with them. So the appropriations and who goes on appropriations. If I'm not elected, it's going to be a freshman that goes into Congress. That freshman is not going to have a clue what to do, who to talk to, who to try to strike a deal with. And as much as most folks don't want to hear it, you got to have relationships with everyone in Congress. I've got a relationship with virtually everybody on appropriations, virtually everybody on appropriations. That's important stuff. That's how we keep getting money for Alabama. We got Space Force in North Alabama. We got the FBI Center. We got so many things because of appropriations. The Richard Shelby's, you know, the Robert Adderholtz. I mean, the people that have been there a long time that have these relationships. Let's don't be too quick to give those relationships up. We have to keep them, especially while we're going in. I'm told that you're going to see many, many more congressmen that are bailing out. The atmosphere up there is just horrible. They gave me the number of about 24 more they thought were going to get out of Congress right after the first of the year. Finished their term out, obviously. So you're going to have a huge, huge freshman class. So we need to send somebody like myself back in there, Jeff, that understands who the players are, but who knows who to talk to, how to get it done, and do it.
Well, how are we right now? You know, you lost Shelby a couple of cycles ago. The House delegation's intact, with the exception of you and, you know, Shamari figures in there. You know, I don't know how much longer Congressman Rogers is going to stick with it. I am probably an upgrade in the fifth with Congressman Strong. there. But, I mean, like, you're grading this and you're looking at it and the standing of Alabama among the rest of the, you know, the rest of the all other 50 or 49 states. How do you feel about it?
We cannot get a better grade than what we've got today. And that's in the House and the Senate. Katie Britt, Tommy Turnbull have done their job. You look at the House, Dale Strong, Adderholt, Mike Rogers, Gary Palmer from a policy standpoint. Everybody has done their job. We're hitting on all cylinders. We truly, truly are. And we've got to keep good people there. It's very important that we keep those good people there. You know, everyone says, well, they won't turn limits, but yet they got the best congressman in the world. They don't want their congressman to step down. Look, grade your congressman. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But grade them. What have they done? How are they doing? Are their hearts there? Are they representing the state? And when you start looking at that for the state of Alabama, we have so little to work with. Alabama is a very poor state in the big picture. But we get so much accomplished because we're sending such great people up to Washington.
Is that, I mean, the staying power that do you feel good about where it is? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of weird dynamics at play. The swing in the from Democrat to Republican, and just, you know, Southern Democrats used to be the thing. Tom Bevel and, you know, Sonny Callahan and guys like that really were like very, very good at doing the constituency work and bringing home these big federal projects. And you know, to me, the politics are a little different these days than they were, say, in the 1980s or whenever.
There's no doubt. I mean, everything's changed and will continue to change. You have to change with the times with it. But when you can get three people on appropriations, Tom Young, who's chairman of appropriations, was at an event for me the other night in Washington, and laughing, he said they would have to nail the furniture down in Washington, D.C. to keep it from being moved to Alabama because we had so much strength up there coming on appropriations. There's a lot of truth to be said for that. But we also have to remember we're Americans. We also have to remember that we have to feed other families in other places. We have to make sure that you know, other, especially Republican districts, are taken care of. We can do that. Jeff, that is not an impossible task. But you got to have people that are capable of doing it, that have got a proven record of doing it. And that's where Jerry Carl plays is going to pay off. I've got 40 years experience in the private sector, 40 years in running my own businesses. I have 8 years in county government, local government. I understand infrastructure. I understand finance and things like sheriff's department. And I've got 4 years in Congress. 4 years in Congress that turned out pretty darn good. You get a two-term congressman on preparations, you've done something. He's made a lot of friends and influenced a lot of enemies.
Joined by former Congressman Jerry Carl here on the program. Wind it down on this, and I don't know how close you're following this, but this Epstein saga, and it seems like, now look, we're in the middle of a lull. It's the holidays. How many people are really plugged into this stuff, but yours truly is. And you know, the Congress passed the bill. The president signed it into law. All these documents were supposed to be released. I mean, should we be losing sleep over this, that we haven't gotten to where what people or whatever the law says that is expected of it?
Obviously, protecting the victims should be first priority. But other than that, I don't know why in the world they just don't dump it all. Say, here it is, go with it, do what you want to do. There's some people going to get their feelings hurt. There's some people going to get caught doing the wrong thing. There's, you know, all that's going to happen. But, you know, delete the names and the pictures of the young girls, and I assume there's young boys in there too, but of the underage children that are involved in this, and protect them first and foremost. But let's get it over with. We got real problems in this country, and Epstein is not one of them in my mind. I think Washington's using it as a distraction, Republicans and Democrats. I just, for the life of me, I don't get it. I mean, that's the oldest sin in the world. Men have fallen in that trap for billions of years. let's pull a Band-Aid off this thing, get it over with, let's move on.
Well,
I just don't think there's anything there.
I agree with you, but it's what people seem to want. One caveat here, and it was one no vote. It was Clay Higgins from Louisiana, and I think he's got a valid point. Like, we don't do things this way. We don't release grand jury testimony. We usually keep stuff like that sealed, you know, that it's not corroborated. On this one, and we're not going to do that. We're going to, this is fair game, and this is what people want. And does that give you any hesitation?
We've already agreed to do it. Bondi agreed to release it. The president said release it. Congress said release it. So if it says release it, let's release it. I mean, we got to honor our word. For me, I would never release it. I would have downplayed it and just stayed away from it. I mean, we need to be focused on China. We need to be focused on Venezuela. We need to be focused on our infrastructure system here. We don't need to be spending our time arguing over a picture of a blurred out face. I mean, I just don't get it. I truly don't. It's bad stuff. And people will pay a price sooner and or later. But we've got real problems in this country. And Epstein, to me, is not one of them. He's dead. He's in a very bad place.
Well, I think they want that if there's any if there's anybody associated with it, they want to get. Hey, Congressman, we're out of time here, but thanks for hopping on, and we'll do this again real soon.
God bless you, Jeff. Have a wonderful, Merry Christmas, and let's remember what the season's about.
Congressman, former Congressman Jerry Carl there. Congressman, thanks again. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And then one day a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid. He took her oh so far.